Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to look first in Philippians 4. It says this, "Do not be anxious." What's a synonym for anxious? Sorry? Well, say it. It's the right answer, so now you can say it with confidence. Oh, wow, you're really confident. Anxious, anxiety, worry. Look at this. Paul writes this under the inspiration of God's Spirit to us, to all of us, to the church there in Philippi, who he writes this letter to, and it just says, be anxious about, don't be anxious about, say it, anything. Turn to the person next to you and say, would you just relax? Don't be anxious about anything. Say it, just like, relax. Don't be anxious about anything. Okay? I know what was, I God has revealed some things that went on in this room while you said that. Husbands are going, see, would you just mellow out? Pastor told me to tell you, relax. And she's going, yeah, relax, don't be anxious about anything. I'd relax if you'd get that done. But anyhow, you know, I get the dynamics. Paul's right and said, listen, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Listen, anxiety and worry, they are present, and if they are present, there is no peace of mind, there is no peace of soul. Peace and worry do not, they are not traveling companions. They are not the best of friends. They are opposite. And he says, listen, don't be anxious for anything. Listen how he instructs us. But in everything, by prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. In everything, pray. And supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's an interesting thing. We think that we should be thankful after God answers our prayer, right? Which we are. But here it says, be thankful in your requests. In other words, be thankful before the answer comes. Be thankful in your requests. And you think, well, how do you do that? Well, this is the thing. We have to recognize who we're talking to. And when we recognize who we're talking to, we can be thankful because he is good. And we know him, or we're getting to know him. And I can already be thankful just because of my relationship with him, regardless of the answer that I want comes to my request. It doesn't matter. We can be thankful before the answer comes. We walk in a gratitude. We think that we can't be thankful and grateful and appreciative until the answer comes. We are to be thankful even before the answer comes. Be thankful in your request. So, do not be anxious about anything, and everything in prayer. And we know that anxiety and worry work against faith. Okay? Works against faith, works against faithfulness, works against fruitfulness. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. Now, and I just want you to be prepared, okay? And you might be uncomfortable with this, but I am going to confess to you, okay? I'm going to confess to you my sin. Not all my sins. But I'm going to confess to you about a sin yesterday, okay? So if you're uncomfortable with that, thinking, oh, gee, I thought pastors were perfect. Not at this church. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. Okay, you are not at a perfect church. And we can start right there and just understand you are not at a perfect church because I know the pastor. Now, my general tendency, I will say this, and not in defense of me, as if I'm confessing a sin, but really that's not how I am. What I'm saying is, through time, this generally doesn't catch up to me. Okay? It's not something that, it's just my natural tendency all the time to just get this way. It's not. You know, the Lord has progressed me. But it caught up with me yesterday. Now, I had a little bit of time yesterday that I could work on a project at home, okay? And wives don't, you know, I always say, see, even he gets some stuff done at home. Why don't you, you know? It wasn't a project for my wife. It was getting my truck ready for winter. Translate, it's hunting season. And there's certain things that have to be done for hunting season and for the winter. So I needed to do some things. One of them was I took out all the floor mats and I cover the carpet and I worked templates and cut out rubber to fit on the floors, okay, to cover most of the carpet and the front and back where we put our feet. And then on top of that, we put, you know, rugs and floor mats. I think, gee, is that all that necessary? Yes. Okay, no. So, anyhow, I was working on this. And now to give you a little bit of history, about a week and a half before, one of my wife's former cars we give to our third daughter, Sydney, who lives in the Twin Cities, to use. It's an 05 Mazda 3 or 3i. It's a four-door little turd or whatever it looked. You know, it's just a little thing that runs a lot of miles on little gas. And, you know, it's just... So, nice car for young adult to run around in. And, you know, it's an 05, so, you know, it needs repairs. So, anyhow, about a week and a half ago, she needed some repairs. She needed a repair done. And it was something that we couldn't let go. And I don't mean like, oh, we let stuff go. What I mean is it's something that needed attention right away or it wouldn't be safe to drive. Okay? So you know, couldn't get it home here. So what are some options? We take it to a place and, you know, get it fixed. And then he, you know, noticed something in the right front lower ball joint. Okay? That probably should be fixed, and you know, it's going to affect a little bit of the steering. It's going to fix, you know, affect tire wear and blah 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 blah. You don't need all those details, anyhow. So he gave her a quote if she would like to come back and get that fixed. So I talked with her. I said, "Hey, how's the car? Oh, it's good, Dad. But they found something else that needs to be done, and this is what it is." And I said, "Okay. Well, we need to get that fixed soon. That's not something I want to let go, okay, because I learned something that if you let things go for too long, other stuff starts to go wrong. It's kind of like they bring friends, you know. Hey, come on over here. We can really mess this up." So it was something that should have attention being fixed. So I said, "Well, listen, I know you're coming through here on your way to Indiana. She's singing down there for a youth convention with some others. And I said, maybe you can drive your car, drop it off. I'll get it fixed while you're there. And then when you come back, you can get it and make your way back to the cities and no problem." So that was kind of the plan. Well, I got a call yesterday during my project that says, "Hi, Daddy." There's always a little bit of a tone, which means prepare yourself, you know. And so, and that's with any child or spouse. Anyhow, so you know, I feel it coming. She goes, "Hey, I'm here, and the car's being fixed." Oh, okay, well, all right. Guess we're doing it this way, you know. Okay, and he's got it fixed, and now he, you know, he gave us that quote, but now it turns out that it's a little over $100 more than the quote. And so, you know, I'm 2 hours and 45 minutes away. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm here. I'm just going by what she's telling me. I'm going, okay, young adult, college age girl, going in to get something fixed and, you know, maybe taking advantage of her a little bit. Sorry to feel that way, you know, but it was like, hey, there's a chance of this. I'm dad. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to protect my little girl, okay? It wasn't just about the money, even though I know who, you know, where that's coming from. You know, it wasn't just, it was like, hey, there was a quote, and you're not honoring the quote. I mean, what's it? So I said, listen, did he do extra work? Did he find something else? I, you know, then I get it. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know. This is all new for her. There's no blame in her in this. There's no fault. She's, you know, sweet Sydney. You know, just, yeah, and she doesn't want to upset anyone or offend anyone. And I get that. I like that about her, you know. And so I'm like, honey, daddy's not there, which she knows. And you need to just politely say, what's the discrepancy with the quote? I said, show him the quote. Well, daddy, I the paperwork's at my house where I live. I said, you know, you're supposed to carry that stuff like in the glove box, right? You know, she got the point. And I wasn't mad at her. It was just this frustration is now building that someone hours from me is, you know, kind of pushing my little girl around. That's the picture I'm getting. And I'm trying to tell her, just polite, stand up at the counter and say, you know, the quote, find the quote. Well, the guy couldn't find the quote. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not looking good. And so now it turns into texts and a couple phone calls. And he didn't do extra work. And it was over $100 more than what was quoted, what Sydney shared with me from the previous week and a half. And now as time is going on in between here, I'm working on this project. And I want you to know, My flesh is kicking in. I'm having some anxiety about this, okay? I am. I'm having some anxiety about this. And I mean, stuff started coming out of my heart into my mind. I mean, deep, dark, vampire dark stuff, okay? Like, I started having conversations with this guy. And I will tell you this, he wouldn't have a turn to say much. It would either, I'm sorry, sir, I'll change the price, or, you know, so it's not like he had much dialogue in my mind. And I didn't have much dialogue in my mind. Now, if she would have been present and I could drive over there and say, hey, listen, you know, I just stand up at the counter and say, listen, you know, we want to get her car fixed. I understand you did the work. We're not trying to take advantage of anybody. You know, I just make this peaceable, and that's what I'm going for. But, you know, I'm over here, and I can't see the guy, and I can't hear the guy. And she's, you know, and poor girl, and I'm her dad. And I'm going to take care of her, protect her. It's my girl, and I'm not trying to make this sound holy, you know. Because there's a point where, you know, I'm tired and exhausted of this over years and years with all my kids. And I was just ready to say, honey, would you just turn to somebody and just get married? Anybody. Let somebody else deal with this problem. I don't care. I don't care who he is. Just get married. It don't matter. I mean, I thought that, but I mean, I didn't say it. And I, you know, it's just a passing feeling. I don't really mean it. It's just like, you know, I'm tired. You know, so anyhow, you know, so I want, you know, this stuff started coming out of my heart into my mind, you know, that not just as a pastor, but just as a Christian man, I started to feel conviction, the Holy Spirit. I'm honest, I'm starting to feel, I'm repenting of things that I'm thinking and feeling. I mean, I'm, you know, if this guy's not going to cooperate, I know it's 2 hours and 45 minutes to get there, but with a torqued-off dad, I'm there in 2 hours. And, you know, I have visions of showing up as he's just getting off work. I mean, it sounds, you know, I'll be honest with you, and I don't use the word stupid, but, you know, this is stupid. I'm working on this project, and I have this anxiety, and my girl's up there, and, you know, I'm, you know, honor the quote. It's not about the hundred and whatever dollars, not that we got extra money to throw around. It's just honor the quote, man. Don't take advantage of my girl. I got this anxiety, and I'm, you know, the praying I'm doing is repentance. I mean, I'm, you know, where is, whoa, Randy, where is this? I mean, like I said, this is not my natural tendency to just automatically get like this. You know, that, but it was showing up yesterday. And it wasn't that guy's fault, and it wasn't the circumstances' fault. It showed up because it was in here. I can't blame him. I can't say, well, that's circumstance, or that guy made me, or blah, 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 blah. No, that showed up because it's in here. So turn to the person next to you and say, hey, when stuff shows up in my life, it's not your fault. Say it. When stuff shows up in my life, it is not your fault. Settle down. Yeah, but my brother made me blue. No, he did not. You chose to respond like you are. And the reason you chose to respond like you are is because it's dark in there. Okay? Get it straight. Yeah, but you... No. Me. This guy who I'm calling this guy, who, I mean, I'm having like some wild dark thoughts. I mean, you know, he don't know I'm a preacher, so what, you know... You know, I mean, crazy, stupid things. And it's not about, you know, he doesn't know I got credit, you know. I mean, I know that this was really starting to bother me because I'm feeling conviction. I'm repenting of these things. I'm saying, Lord, whoa, what in the world is going on? And then, you know, I knew I was really distracted because now I'm miscutting the templates. I'm throwing pieces of rubber in the trash. Normally when I had the scraps, I just walk over and dump them in. Now I'm taking pieces and throwing it over at the... He's like, what in the world? I said, all right, you go ahead and pay it. I said, you go home and get that quote. And you look at it and you take it back there and you say, here. Are you going to credit me the difference? Yes, Daddy, okay. You know, And I sent her a text. I said, listen, you make sure you read that quote good first so you don't go back there and say, and she's wrong. I don't want that. And so I'm kind of amped up about this. And then I'm also feeling like, what in the world, Randy? Come on. Dude, the Lord has done more in your life than this. You know, just... So, and then it occurred to me. Which, you who, you know, you're more spiritual than I, this is probably your first step. I finally just said, Lord, I'm having a lot of these thoughts and things come out of my heart that I've been asking forgiveness for. I would just like this to be resolved peaceably as if I was there and, you know, let's just go on. Would you please just take care of this? It was seconds. I don't mean 1 minute. I mean less. Seconds. I get a text from Sydney. Dad, I got the quote. It was 200 and whatever dollars. She said, that was for parts. The labor was... So he charged her correctly. And I went, well, honey, that's great. And I was like, okay, thanks, Lord, because I can come to you with everything, regardless of outcome. I'm not supposed to worry about anything. And here I am, all ramped up at this guy. I mean, I'm driving my truck up there, and I'm disappointed in me, asking for, and then, it just comes to, and it was like, you know, Randy, you could have just you know, ask me and talk to me right away. Okay? And I said, honey, I want you to know Daddy was not mad at you. I was very concerned that some guy up there sees a young adult girl and just kind of takes advantage of her. And, you know, you being sweet and, you know, whatever the text was kind of like that. And just saying, but I want to tell you that your old man has a dark spot. I did. I said, I was thinking and feeling, blah, you know. I said, I've been repenting over this. And I want you to know that I'm happy this happened. And let me tell you why. Happy it happened because it exposed me. That's a good thing. I mean, that's the stuff we want to hide from people. But it was a good thing that it exposed me to the Lord. And now because of it, it continues to be this building block for me to become a man who is better and more efficient in prayer. See? We know that Scripture says in James, you know, that a righteous man's prayers avail much. In other words, like they have some kind of greater impact. Well, none of us feel real righteous, but when we're going through something and we don't respond with anxiety or fear or anger to the point we're going to sin, but we respond with understanding, compassion, the virtues of God, He looks upon that and sees His own nature and says, ah, that's righteousness at work. Not of ourself, but what the Holy Spirit does in us. And then when He looks at that and sees Himself, that there's righteousness in it, when we pray, it now has this impact that is greater than if we just let corruption run wild and then try to come with Him with some kind of request. Not that He doesn't hear it, but when He looks and sees it, a virtue in His nature that has been at work in us to move us along and we pray, there's this greater impact. He's the one that came up with the Scripture. A righteous man's prayers avail much. So, I'm repenting and I'm, you know, exposed and all. I was so glad. In fact, afterwards I said, honey, I wish you were here. I feel so good about this. I'm not angry with you. I was just real concerned this guy was taking advantage of your situation. Oh, I wish you were here because you and I would be going over to Texas Roadhouse. Hey, listen, going through all that, I worked up a hunger. So, listen, I want to close with this and because we were talking about praying and praying for one another. And I know the situation was about ourselves, but this phrase of don't be anxious about anything, but everything in prayer. I could have just started out, and most of the time it is like this for me. But yesterday, there was something lurking down in here that got stirred up that I didn't know was there. And it wasn't the protection of my daughter that was wrong. It was the way it was coming out. Listen, no one would even know about this. I could have kept it to myself, but I shared it with her. I'm sharing it with you this morning. Not as like I'm using this in my personal confession time, is that there's a principle in it for you and I. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, I want us to look there. Let me do this. James 5 first. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I referred to that a moment ago, but this whole principle of confession and healing, I want you to know they go together. Now, it doesn't mean that if we confess that God is obligated to heal us, as if it's a manipulation thing. That's not it. The principle is, I need to learn to confess so that I unload this and it makes room in me for something good to happen, like healing, peace, fruitfulness. It's about the confession part is about the important. It's not so much that we get an answer to the problem. The greater importance is that when we confess, we're maintaining a right relationship with Him. That's more important than anything we face in this life, because this life is going to end for us at some point, and the stuff is not going to matter. But what will matter is my relationship with Him. Has it been growing and maintained, or did I harbor stuff? So the confession is, it makes room and it keeps right relationship with Him. The counterpart is that when we make room for something good to happen, rather than storing up all this stuff or our attitude or our sin and keeping it to ourselves, thinking I'll deal with it and I can handle it, or God knows I'm sorry, or you know, it was okay because after all, you know, I was just trying to stand up for my daughter. Come on. There's a way to stand up for your daughter without sinning. There's a way to, you know, whatever your situation is, to do it without sinning. And so James 5 talks about this. Now, interesting thing is in Ephesians chapter 6, because we're talking about praying and being people who pray for one another, more effective in prayer, all right? And it's this, to learn to pray all the time. So now look at this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit, with all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making prayer and supplication for all the saints. Praying for one another. I want my prayers to be effective on your behalf. It's not just praying for the blessings I'm seeking, but for us to be praying for one another to seek the blessing on your behalf. That is part of who we are and what we're supposed to do. It's what Jesus did. It's what Paul writes about and what he does. You and I praying for one another, holding one another up, whether we're present or not. Doing this with a clean heart, doing this because we've confessed things and made it right with the Lord, and now our prayer, when He looks at us, He sees the righteous work of His compassion and mercy and, you know, no evil at work in here, you know, at the moment. You know, we still have growing to do, but, you know, and He sees His nature, and therefore we look righteous, and when we pray, because look righteous because we look like Him. He's done the work in us and made way for us, and so now our prayers are effective, fruitful, attaining the blessing that it seeks on someone else's behalf. That's a beautiful thing. It's ministry that He calls us to and to be a part of. It's interesting, He says, praying in the Spirit. I want to share this with you in Romans chapter 8. This is the last verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Now, I'll pause here. Have you ever prayed and you're not quite sure how to pray? Okay? You're not quite sure. You know, let me just give you, there's all kinds of situations. Let me give you this one. Somebody's really sick. They're in intensive care. Now, we know Jesus is a healer. And, Lord, I want to pray for healing. That's what I want to pray for. Or should I be praying that, Lord, this is their time. We don't want them to have pain. Would you just take them peacefully? What do I do? How do I pray? I want to pray according to God's will. And so we wrestle through this. You know, the real super spiritual is no healing, and He's the divine healer, and everybody's supposed to be healed, and I get it. And there's the reality of, at some point, sometime, this side of the rapture, this is going to turn to dust. So where and how, you know, how do I pray? I want to pray God's will. You, about your own life. You tell Him how you feel. You tell Him what you think. It's not wrong. We see David do that in the Psalms. He's just praying what he thinks and how he feels and being honest with God. And that's what we should be. but leaving the results to the Lord. But we want to express faith. We want to pray according to his will. This is the beauty, is that we can pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at this. This gives us such a great insight in being effective in praying God's perfect will in situations. You understand that this is possible. Turn to the person next to you and say, it is possible for you to pray the will of God. Say it. It is possible for you to pray the will of God. Please tell them. Did you tell each other in the booth? Okay. I want you to think, you know, you disappeared from us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You're like, oh, that's a lot there. Let me put it in a nutshell for you. See, the Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He will do things according to the will and the mind of God. See, just like you and I were made of spirit, nobody knows the mind really within you. Okay? I mean, your spouse or a close friend can kind of know how you function and they can kind of guess things, but they can guess wrong. They can guess wrong. It happened the other week. So it's when Sydney was home. And for a couple days, and she was with Sue, and they were in Onalaska with, I don't know, the grandkids and somebody else or whatever. And they stopped by Panera, and Sue brought me home a chocolate chip cookie. It's in that nice little sleeve they put it in. And it was sitting on the island. I finally got home, and it was later in the evening, and I saw it there. And I didn't know. It didn't have my name on it. I just thought, she probably picked me up a cookie. And I didn't touch it. I didn't eat it. And I went off to bed. The next day, I saw Sydney at some point in the day. I said, that cookie that was from Panera. She goes, oh, yeah, Mom got that for you. And I said, oh, because it's gone. She goes, oh, no. Like, who would have done that? And I said, your mom, I bet you she ate that. She got a little craving for something sweet. She got and had chocolate in it. She goes, no, Mom would never do that. She bought that special for you. She would never do that. That was someone else. And it wasn't her and it wasn't me. That leaves Brock. I said, honey, if it had chocolate in it and it, you know, it's a little sweet and your mom got a... She would never do that. Later on in the day, I said, by the way, you know that Panera cookie? Did you buy? She goes, yeah, I ate that. I said, Sydney. She goes, oh, Mom, I can't believe you did that. You got the special for Dad. And you know. I said, Sydney, you know, I know her. Okay, I wasn't upset about it. It didn't matter to me. I'm glad she enjoyed it and had the cookie, you know. I didn't have room for it anyhow. I was too busy eating that homemade bread she makes. Anyhow, I'm saying nobody knows really the mind within you except the Spirit within you. I mean, your person close to you can kind of guess what you're going to do and what you're like and how you function, and they might be close, but they don't always know. But the Spirit within you knows. You know when you're trying to sell your idea and make it look genuine to someone close to you so that they go, yeah, that makes sense, and you go, oh, good, I got my way. Right? I mean, you know your motive. So the Spirit knows the mind of God, and therefore the Spirit will do and reveal what the mind of God is. Now, we are made of body, soul, and spirit, and the Scripture talks about His Spirit within us. Therefore, if His Spirit is within us, the Spirit can reveal to us what the perfect will and mind of God is. This is the beauty. Now, I want you to catch this because this weirds people out. And I'm not doing a whole message on this, but I'm going to tell you something. In the fullness of the gospel, because this is a full gospel church, we preach the whole counsel of God. Not just the parts we like or the parts we find easy and the parts that make us uncomfortable. We say, well, that was then and not for now. No, no, it's the whole deal. We don't get to pick and choose. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, being immersed in His Spirit, like on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to share with you a really practical, beautiful thing, because it kind of weirds us out when we think, oh, how do you know when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? One of the physical, practical responses that happens is that you've heard this term, that then the person speaks in tongues. And then we go, oh, yeah, that's weird. They're fanatical. I don't know. How does that happen? Listen, let me tell you about the beauty of this so that you can understand a real practical aspect that God put and instilled in this. That the baptism is a baptism of power, but the evidence that it's taken place is that we speak in tongues. It's really a baptism of power. It's not, you don't get baptized so you can speak in tongues. It's that you're baptized with power, and one of the results is that you are enabled to speak in tongues in a language you don't understand. I know that that's really wild and far out and all of this kind of thing, but listen, here's the beauty. Because Paul writes about this. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. I pray with understanding, and then I pray in the Spirit where my mind is not fruitful. It does not understand what I'm saying, but the Spirit is praying through me. We just read that the Spirit intercedes through us for the benefit of all the saints praying the will of God. So here it is. When you and I don't know what to pray in the perfect will of God, and when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has given you utterance or the ability to speak in another language you don't understand, that when you do that, the Spirit is praying through you a perfect prayer unhindered by our mind or our language or our motive, and the Spirit intercedes through us the perfect will of God. And if you are doing that for someone else, it is a perfect prayer for them. The beauty of the Spirit interceding through us, a perfect prayer to bless someone else. To pray in the Spirit interceding through us about a circumstance, a situation. Maybe it's our own life. We don't know how to pray for it. I know what I want, but I don't know if it's best, but here it is. And now we pray in the Holy Spirit, and we pray a prayer that's in agreement with the will of God. And if it's in agreement with the will of God, it will be done. Darkness can't stop it. We want to pray, be praying for one another. You want to know how to pray for your spouse, your children, someone who's sick? We can make our request known. We can make our desire known, and that's not wrong. But understand, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Okay? Don't get anxiety and get all worked up and finally get your way, you know, oh, yeah, gee, Lord, could you just do this piece? Just write to the prayer. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we don't know how to pray through us to attain the blessing of God's perfect will in a situation, a circumstance, someone else's life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.